I don't know about you, but as I was telling them in prayer this morning, sometimes you got to let somebody, come on, say let somebody, look me in the face and tell me I'm wrong. Uh-oh. That's big, ain't it? That's huge. So you have to be willing to surrender and say, I didn't get in this mess by doing everything the right way, Melvin. I didn't get bankrupt, my car repoed, my house is falling apart. I didn't get this way because I knew all the right things to do. I got there because I tried to do it Steve's way. Oh, come on. How many of you is tired of doing it your way? Oh, come on. Come on. I know it's full in here. I'm going to raise both hands and my feet. Because I know when Steve gets in the way, God ain't in the front. And when God ain't driving the car, we don't know where we're going. We might have a GPS, but we still lost. Oh, come on. But see, I'm here to tell you, God said, I'm going to make you a watchdog. Say watchdog. Over yourself. Oh, come on. Say, God's going to make me a watchdog over myself. And I'm going to break it down for you. Watch. God's going to help me watch my words. Oh, amen. Who needs that? Oh. God's going to help me watch my attitude. God's going to help me watch my temptations. God's going to help me watch my character and my integrity, which tie one and one together. Amen. God's going to help me watch my, come on, somebody say my household and my habits. And then God's going to give me dominion over the gifts. Are you not hearing me this morning? My words, my attitude, my temptations, my character, my household habits, and then he's going to give me dominion over my gifts. Oh, come on, man wants your gifts. God wants you to have dominion over everything. God says in Genesis 1:26, he gave you dominion to rule and reign over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Oh, come on, some of you let creeps rule you. Oh, come on. Some of you let your jobs become your gods. Uh-oh. Some of you let your relationships become your gods. Some of you let your cars and your toys and other things become your god. But God says, I'm going to realign because this is a new season and a new day. And it's never too late for you to realign with God. Oh, ain't that the great thing about God? His mercy and grace is always there. Oh, that's an amen. That's a hand clap. I don't know about you, but there's been many times I fell in traps and I needed God's grace on my life. Oh, without it, where would I be? I can tell you where I'd be. I know where I would be. I'd be getting my food through some metal bars this morning. That's where I'd be. Because that's where I was headed. Because I was that crazy. See, I'll tell you a little testimony real quick. I was 23 years old. Had moved to Ohio for a little while. Moved back to Virginia with my now wife. We weren't married then. Broke as a joke. Living in a little trailer up above my mom. We didn't have water. We had a little kerosene heater, and it ran out most of the time. And my buddy called. He said, hey, you want to make $5,000? Nah, man, I can't. I got a kid. Oh, come on, man. Come on. At that time, my last name was Grimes, and we'll tell you that story later. He said, come on, Grimes. He said, man, it's easy money. He said, all you got to do is drive me down to Richmond. We're going to drop off this weed. We're going to come back. That's all you got to do. Get me down there. They're going to give you 5G when you get down there. All right, let's go. So we got in the car and we took off, and I was driving. He didn't have a license. We get lost downtown Richmond. I don't even know if I told my dad this story before. We get lost in downtown Richmond. Pull over. There's about 7 or 8 black guys and a couple Hispanic guys in a group, and they were talking. We were about 4 or 5, and everybody in the car had a gun, you know. You don't have drugs of that kind without having a gun because somebody's going to want it. We pulled and rolled down the window. No further than I could get the window down. I got hit in the side of the head with a hand, the hammer of a gun. Boom, right here. Before I knew it, we were all 3, and the 4th guy was running. He took off. Next thing I know, I look up, and there's a gun in my mouth, and I'm laying on the concrete. I said, God, I don't want to die like this. That was my words. I didn't say I want to be saved. I'm going to live for you. I just said, God, I don't want to die like this. All of a sudden, we heard sirens. Boom. Sirens happen. We get up. They take off running. They stole all the drugs out of the car. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. They took all the drugs out of the car and all the guns. So, of course, we lie and tell the cops, well, they just must have wanted our wallet. That's all we had, officer. All we were looking was from directions for a restaurant. That's what we told them. Long story short, I went back home. I looked at Chris and I said, we're moving back to Ohio. It was within a year that I met my dad. Within 2 years, my name had changed. My identity had changed. My character had changed. My integrity had changed. My value system had changed. The reason I was living had changed. I wasn't living for me and who I could get over on no more. I was living for who I could get God to overcome and take away their hurt and their pain. See, God gave me a relationship. 3 years later, He hooked me up and I'm ministering in the jail. Had one of the most successful ministries in Sandusky Jail. They gave us so much favor, we were able to get a gymnasium, bring in live instruments, and have a worship service and a prayer service in the jail. They broke the rules for us and let all the felons come because they weren't supposed to leave their pod. Are you not hearing me this morning? What God can do is take what the enemy's trying to destroy and flip it around and create a testimony out of it. God's going to take everything in your life that you felt like has been a detriment to you. He's going to take it and He's going to flip it. And then you're going to be on the other side saying, that was, but this is now. See, your identity is light up in the cross. It's not in who you think you are. It's not in your gifts that the natural people try to pull out of you. Your gifting and your calling is in God. And when you begin to pull on that gifting and you let God begin to be the head of your life, when you let God be the one that's shooting the arrows for where you to go, you don't get off as much. See, you're not having to backtrack. Oh, you're not having to do the back. Oh, you're not hearing me. You're not having to always backpedal to get back where you was at. God's going to keep elevating you and keep you going forward. And before long, you're going to be a testimony. And you're going to be sitting in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And you're going to be preaching to a bunch of people. See, God can take a mess and turn it around and make you into something that you never could dream. See, if God's in the front of your life, you don't have to worry about who's behind you because that's where they'll stay. See, when you get caught up with the people behind you is when you start backpedaling. Now you become side to side. Now you have to worry about their opinion because you've took yourself there. But if you're always pressing forward, those voices and those opinions are always behind you, and God's what you're seeking. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. You got to change the way you have dominion. God's given you the ability to rule. Oh, and if they ain't for you in your life, hear me this morning. Write it down. Take a picture. Whatever you need to do. If they ain't for you, they're creeps. Oh, you went silent on me. If they ain't trying to push you into your God-given abilities, they're creeps. So you have the ability to rule and reign over them too. Because all they are is another voice the enemy's trying to use to get you off. Oh, hear me this morning. Oh, I might be talking about some of your family. Oh, hear me this morning. There's some people in your life you need to get rid of until you get where you're going. And then God can mend that relationship if it was meant to be. Oh, some of you got to quit worrying about what Tommy and Billy and Bobby think about you. And you got to start worrying about where God's trying to take you. Because if you don't begin to be a watchdog over yourself, then the enemy's going to have every little way in. And before long, you're going to be in such a mess that you're going to be right back up here where you was 14 years ago, asking God to start over again. Instead of letting God say, you made a mistake, son, let's go. Oh, you did it again, let's go. But see, when you're pushing forward, you have momentum. But when you're going backwards, you can be knocked down real quick. We teach our girls, you don't slide a defensive stance sideways. You can't get nowhere. You turn and sprint and get back in position. See, some of you need to turn and sprint and get back in position because you've been out of bounds. Turn with me to Mark 13. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Chapter 13, verse 32. And you'll notice here, God uses the word watch four times. I don't know about you, but when God repeated something to me, it's had a little different meaning than when He says it one time. Amen? When God repeats something, What? He done brought me four signs, Tanya. I better pay attention. I'm doing something that needs to be fixed. Amen? It says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Say, be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Us Philippians here, you don't know when somebody's going to try to throw you off track. Oh, come on. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Oh, come on. Who in your life do you have a relationship with that you're putting at your door? Who in your life are you putting in a position to where they can help keep watch of you? Oh. I didn't say who you're putting in your life where you can gossip with. Who are you putting in your life that's going to hold you accountable? When you accept, nah, you made a mistake. Nah, that wasn't right. Matt don't have a problem telling me, man, I think you could have said that a little different. I think you maybe could have just had a little bit better, bigger smile on your face when you was talking to them. You look like you was angry when you come in, Steve. You got to watch that. People will take that the wrong way. He don't have a problem telling me that. But the problem lies, do I have the ability to receive it without getting bitter, upset, or judgmental? Oh, you're not hearing me. See, when you allow people in your life to help you raise your children, which I do them, him and Jennifer, then I got to be open to say, well, you might be right. Maybe I didn't say that to Haley the right way. You're right, maybe I was a little hard. But if you don't have any oil, no relationship, somebody helping keep watch of your life, then when you're out there all by yourself and you make a mistake, guess what? You're out there all by yourself. How many know how it feels when you do something silly and it's just you in the car and you take off driving and in about an hour you don't know where you're at? Oh, come on, I ain't the only one that's done that. One time I got so mad at my dad, I took off in the car and I got 3 hours from Ohio. I was coming back to Galax. I said, Holy Spirit, supposed to be saying, well, you ain't got no money. You about out of gas. You better turn around, you dummy, before you have to push the car back. Come on. You do things in the heat of the moment sometimes because you don't have nobody you can pick up the phone and call and say, Miss Mary, I'm struggling. You got 5 minutes to meet me for coffee? I ain't trying to dump on you. I'm trying to get into a daily devotional with you. I don't need you to tell me how bad my dad's done you before. I need you to tell me, look, your dad's a great man. He's set up there and he's done. Sometimes you need somebody to give you a little oil for the friction, because sometimes if you don't have nobody watching your door, come on, if you ain't got somebody guarding your door, what's coming in? You can be like, what's his name on Home Alone? Macaulay Culkin. You got to build all kind of boo-boo traps to keep him out. Paint cans. All kinds of stuff. But see, who are you allowing to watch your door? That's a big question. 35 says, therefore, keep watch. Say, keep watch. Because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Oh, come on. You got a friend and you're helping them out and they're helping you out and you're close. And then all of a sudden they get upset. Oh, come on. And you told them some secrets. Oh, there's a hush all over the church this morning. You done told them some of your deepest insecurities and some things you're struggling with. Now they done got mad. Boop, boop. Ding, ding. Facebook alert. And they tagging you too, baby. You done. They got your face. Everybody done seen it before you can delete it. How many's been there? How many's had that one person you thought really you could trust? Oh, come on. Because it's who you thought you could trust. It's not who God brought you to trust. Oh, there's a big difference, ain't there? So I had a lot of people growing up in my life. My cousin Yerrick served like my dad. I mean, I still value him today for the things he did. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been able to make it to him. But he's not my dad. He was somebody God used to get me to where I needed to be so that I could have a spiritual father, but also a natural father. See, God will use people in your life to help you. But the problem is we don't know when that relationship is drying up. We don't know when we need to take that relationship back to the throne. We don't know when we need to take that relationship back and bathe it in some prayer. But we let everybody know when we don't feel good. Oh, come on. How many of you know you're walking to church? Hey, how you doing today, bro? Blessed. Lord is good, ain't he? Hey, brother, you got $10. Come on. You're not hearing me this morning. See, you got to learn who God's bringing you in your life, who God's giving you a relationship with to help watch over you. Oh, you still got to be your own convictions. Oh, some people will still lead you astray, even though they got a flesh they deal with. You still have to have that one-on-one time with God. If you ain't got that one-on-one time with God, it doesn't matter who you bring in your life. It doesn't matter who you let speak into your life. You're not going to see it the right way because you're not spending time with the right one. Verse 37 says, what I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Come on. Say watch. How many know our words are the one thing that really gets us in trouble? Oh, come on. Some of you, I know I have. I've said some things when I was unsaved to my biological mom that I still can remember till today. Mean, nasty things. How many know when you say it and you speak it in the atmosphere, forgiveness can come, but there'll always be that remembrance of what you said. I think that's why there's so much emphasis on the power of the tongue. It's life. I like to say it this way. It's life and or death. It can be life one moment and turn into death the next. You look beautiful today, Miss Mary. But I'm going to tell you what, that dress ain't working for you. Come on. How many of us do it all the time? I'm kidding, you do look beautiful today. How many of us do it all the time? One good thing out of this side of the mouth, next thing out of this side of the mouth, and it contradicts each other. God's calling a new mandate for our words. We must begin to speak to those mountains. That's why God says speak to them. Not go up and try to bully them. Not go try to give it a bulldozer and move them. God says, speak to those mouths. Speak to those strongholds in your life. You have the ability to speak life into someone else. Your words must line up with your testimony. Come on. Your words have to become the same as your walk. You can't be talking and everybody out there seeing you doing something different. Come on. Amen? Attitude. How many know attitude can be a good thing? So we get attitude caught up in the, well, they had an attitude with me. No, sometimes you got to have an attitude. You don't have the ability. You ain't going to change me. I know who I am in Christ. You can take your atheist believing self on somewhere because it don't matter what you say to me, you ain't changing my attitude. I know what God can do. I've seen what God can do. I've been in a service where God's performed miracles. My baby's a miracle. I know what God can do, so you ain't going to change my attitude. You're not going to change the way I think. You're not going to change. I'm not telling you I'm better than you, but what I'm telling you is you ain't going to get in here. My attitude ain't changing about who I am. You might take it as boastful. I'm not. But what I'm not going to do is change who I am for you. Oh, come on. My attitude has to stay humble to God, not to you. But it goes back to having somebody watching your door that can help check your attitude as well. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to let somebody look you in the face and say, you're wrong. You shouldn't have done that. It wasn't right. You can sugarcoat it how you want to. Oh, come on. You can make it look any way you want to, but you should not have said that. I'm sorry if that fluffs your feathers, but you shouldn't have said it. Go cry, you'll get over it. Build a bridge is what my kids tell each other. Build a bridge and get over it. But see, there's some things in our life that God's trying to call us to a different level. And that is our attitude. We have to become a church who has an attitude of acceptance, an attitude of forgiveness, an attitude who's come wounded will find an answer. Whether they've been here for 10 years and left for 5, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who walks through the door. We have to have an attitude of like Jesus. It's okay. We've all done things. We've all been there. But it's time that we take on an attitude that says, no matter what, I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to praise God. You're not going to knock me off. Amen? Temptations. Oh, come on. Mary's at work in her office. Secretary calls. You won't never believe what our boss did. Flesh is what? What'd she do? Girl, you kidding. You telling me that's what? No way. Hey, Billy, guess what our boss did? It's easy. That's one thing I thank God for Scott for. Because some of them coaches at the high school tell me stuff. I'm like, Scott. Steve, don't live. I've been here 20 years. Them knuckleheads will tell you anything. Ain't none of that. See, you got to have somebody that said, don't listen. You got to have some. I don't know these people from Adam. But he does. He has a relationship with them because he's been around them. But you think I would know they don't spend no time with him, so they can't be nothing but negative influence, or he'd have them in his life. Come on, it's that easy, is it not? It's that easy to fall into something, to listen to something, and build and preconceive an ideal of who that person is and what they're going through and how they feel and why they're saying what they're saying. The temptation is there for you to form an opinion. Oh, Nicole, I saw her somewhere she shouldn't have been. Boom, she's done. Look at her up here praising the Lord. You know what? I saw her. Come on, it's easy to do, folks. We find ourselves doing it all the time. The temptation of gossip, to me, is the biggest detriment to the church. Are you not hearing me? We have to become a church that says, whosoever will, no matter what they've been through, no matter what they're going through, no matter what they're in, no matter who they're with, no matter what lifestyle they're living, prostitute, drug dealer, it does, rapist, it don't matter. If they come seeking help, the church is supposed to be the place that accepts them and gives them love and condoles them and helps them get to the next level. Oh, I'm not saying put them in leadership. I'm saying we have to be a church that accepts them right where they're at. Because where was you when you came? What was you dealing with when you was at the darkest of your life? Oh, what sin have you messed with? Oh, come on. How many times have you been in the darkest, darkest alley and there ain't been no light around? Come on. See, we got to take a different approach and say, I'm not looking at what you were. I'm not looking at how you've been. I'm looking at what I know you got the potential to do. I'm going to begin to speak to the life in you. I'm not worried about the failure that's come through, but I'm worried about where I can help you get. Because I know God said He loved you so much that He knows the hairs on your head. It's easy for you this morning, Nick. He knows them all. How many understand that? It takes a different level. It takes a different level of maturity. You know when you're really, truly walking in unforgiveness? When the person that has cost you the most comes and asks for your help. When a person that has destroyed anything and everything you've ever had comes and asks you, can you help me? That's when you truly know if you're walking in unforgiveness. Come on. That'd be hard for a lot of us, wouldn't it? Amen? Take a lot of grace. Take a lot of grace. Amen? C. Character. How many know character is a big thing? You see individuals that, you see it a lot around here, more than you did in Ohio, I think, personally, is you see a lot of inappropriateness in schools with teachers and students. It's a huge thing in the South for some reason. It has been even when I was growing up. But you see some that really didn't do anything. They go in front of the court of law. There's no evidence. There's nothing against them. And everything's thrown out. But they're never able to get a job again. Because their character has been destroyed. That's why it goes back to watch your words. Because your words is what destroys people's character. Your attitudes towards them with people that you have relationship with is what destroys their character. Your temptations to gossip is what destroys character. My dad has told me one thing, son, you always have to do from this point forward is always protect your integrity and your character. It's the one thing that no man can ever take from you. The only person that can destroy that is you. Because in the end, God will justify you. But how many know that these individuals that fall into these gaps, that have nobody watching their door, that have nobody with them in a time of need, have nobody helping them in the relationships they have or on an island all by themselves? Well, there's one thing a preacher told us one time. He said, I'll never travel alone. There's always somebody that carries my books, my tapes. People talk and say, I need a little gopher. He said, no, it's about accountability. I'm always going to have somebody that has eyes on me that I have relationship with, because there's no way that I'm going to put myself in a place to allow somebody to say something about me because I'm uncovered. Your character and your integrity gets questioned when you're uncovered. We have to become a church that is hungry for a relationship with our pastor. You have to be covered. That's deep in me because I was so many years of being uncovered. And I know the detriment it could cause. See, when I left Galax, I was the basketball player that turned drug dealer. That was my identity. But now that I've restored relationships through basketball, through going there and preaching, ministering, now I'm the guy that turned his life around. Now I'm the one that everybody said couldn't, has finally done something. See, God will find a way in a time that you never think and connecting you with people that you never know. But you have to be willing to let somebody watch your door. If your door is unguarded, you're uncovered. And if you're uncovered, the enemy has access at all times. Amen? And H, your household. This is a big one. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Acts 16:31. I'm going to read to you out of the Message Bible. If you're there, say amen. It says, the jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, sirs, what do I have to do to be saved? To really live? They said, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you will live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your house included. Say, everyone in my house included. Oh, come on. You wonder why sometimes we struggle in our house. Are we living, as James said, in a double-minded state? Oh, come on. Are we showing grace and extending grace to others that we don't even extend to our own family? Are we worried about filling the church up with strangers so they don't know who we really are? Are we worried about really reaching out to our family and changing their life? I said this in prayer this morning. We must become a church that is hungry for our entire family to be saved and brought into the house of God. Because what better testimony is it when you're sitting side by side with your brother or your sister or your aunt or your grandma or your husband or your wife? Come on. See, God's in the business of restoring households. But it starts with your ability to begin to intercede on their behalf. Oh, come on. It's easy to go to the family reunion and sit over here with two or three that you know that you're close to, than it is to go mingle with them over here. Not so good. Oh, you don't know what they do. I can't even be around them. So what you're telling me is their influence is bigger than your influence. See, we must become a people that is hungry to reach out to our own family. Say, no matter what hurt they've caused us, no matter how many know, your family's probably caused you the most pain in your life. Come on. One day they're hunky-dory, love you, you're the best. Next day it's like, go chase cars. As I tell my kids, go chase parked cars. And it drives my wife nuts. She can't stand for me to say that. But how many know that your household has to become your dwelling place? When you bathe your house in the same prayer that you bathe that room and this service with, I believe God has no other choice but to show up and show out. But what stops us is our insecurities, because we've made mistakes in front of our family more than we have anyone else. So therefore we have an issue because they really know what we used to be. So therefore we keep it on the hush. As R. Kelly says, you keep it on the down low. You hide it from them, so they don't really know you. So therefore you really can't speak to them, because you really never even really shared what Jesus has done for you since the hurt they've caused you. Then you form a habit of staying away from them, avoiding once a year. How many of you know there's some of those family members you only see once a year? They might live 20 minutes from you, but you only see them once a year. Most of the time you go because their mama makes good food. Amen? How many know that God is taking us into a new season? God is taking us into a new day. God is calling us to a different level. God has taken the church and He's elevating it again in the world. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt, that the church is going to become the biggest influence in America. You know why I believe it? Because it can't come any worse. Are you not hearing me? And I believe that we have to become a people that is not afraid to stand at Congress meetings, at city council meetings, at school board meetings, in front of principals, in front of entire communities, and say, if you would bring God back, we wouldn't have this issue. If you would begin to speak to some of these things that you're taking out of school, and you would begin to let them pray before class, and you'd let them have their Bibles and have a Bible study at break time, if you would do this, and if you would do this, then you would see an increase. You would see an increase in participation, and probably a decrease in behavior. But who's going to become strong enough to take a stand and say, this is not right? It has to be the church. God didn't call us to come on Sundays and Wednesdays and go home and have a potluck every third Sunday. God called us to go into the deepest, darkest areas of the community and speak to them. Oh, how many of us have went door to door, I'm as guilty as you are, and said, hey, do you want to come somewhere God's at? Oh, you can't be no worse than what you are right now. Do you need a ride? It might mean me getting up at 7, but I'll be here to get you. You might live in Rock Creek. You might live in Cricket. And Misty, some of Misty's family, if you go get, good Lord, you better leave at 5 in the morning. But it takes a different mentality to say, I'll make a sacrifice. I'll make a sacrifice so that you can have some of what I've got. When are we going to become a church that is so hungry for a revival? I believe God is calling Wilkes County to a revival. I haven't even shared this with my dad. I had a dream the other night. We had a big old tent. It was a big dome. A huge dome, and it was brown. And we had metal folding chairs from one end to the other. And there were so many people that my dad looked at me and Matt and said, we're going to have to find a new place. This is not going to work. And it was amazing because I looked and it was all 10 to 17 year olds. And it was just full. And they had the first 10 or 20 rows of all of the youth in this county. I spent a lot of time with kids. And let me tell you something. The kids are 500 times better than the parents. They have more of an understanding than the parents ever thought of. The kids are hungry for a move of God. The parents have been skipped over because of hurt and pain and the same thing that we go through, depression and anxiety and fear of trying to fulfill something. And I'm tired of seeing parents have to be best friends. It's time that we start to look at these children and say, there's going to be an outpouring. There's going to be a revival in their life because we're going to step up to the plate and we're going to watch our words. We're going to watch our attitudes around our children. We're going to watch the temptations that we fall in around our children. We're going to watch our character and our integrity and not let our see us do silly things. We're going to watch our household and we're going to pray with our kids. We're going to pray with our kids. Oh, come on. We're going to pray and we're going to read with our kids. We're going to share our testimonies with our kids. We're going to become hungry for our kids the same way that our grandparents and mamas and daddies were hungry for you. We must become a generation that becomes hungry for a move of God and not a Sunday morning meeting. There's a mandate on the church, and I believe it more than ever, to become the church that God's called us to be. We must make more sacrifices than ever before. Technology has taken over. It's easy for somebody to stay home in bed and watch you on live stream. Where's the intimacy? Where's the relationship? Father, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you this morning. Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that no matter where I find myself, no matter how closed off and closed-minded I find myself in, the state and the situation that I may feel that is bigger than anything, God, I know you have an answer. I know, God, that you're ready to move in my life. Hallelujah. Brother Harrison, as I was ministering, I looked over and I heard the Lord say, I've heard every cry.